It's a challenge every month to limit our discussion of the media in a segment we call Signals and Noise. Not only do we define media broadly, from books to virtual reality, but there's just so much that happens every month, often within hours of the last broadcast. We'll take extra time this month to consider a whole year of big media happenings. The political part alone could fill an hour, but we'll keep it as part of a mix as we visit with Andrew Gay and Precious Yamaguchi of the Communications Faculty at Southern Oregon University. Precious, always good to see you.
Hi, good morning.
Andrew, always good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
So why don't we talk about where we are right now first, and then we can do the year in review. And you know, true to form, the Golden Globe announcements came out this morning, just before we got started. And I don't know if you have a chance to look at the list very much, but it sounds like Vice, the Dick Cheney movie, pulled in a few nominations here.
Yeah, not surprising to me. I've not seen the film yet. I don't think it's come out in our region, but I've seen the trailer, and right away there's tons of buzz about just how much Christian Bale nails that character. And I think, again, Dick Cheney is seen as one of these sort of powerful behind the scenes political forces. And I think his role in the Bush administration still sort of rings true to many of the things we're constantly talking about in the news now. So I think it feels like a relevant film.
Here's how little I know about the movie Vice, though, because I noticed it's in the category for musical or comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm really excited. I feel that Christian Bale is just an amazing actor, and you feel that he gives his whole life to whatever film he's in, and you almost worry for his health sometimes.
You do, especially with the boxing movie, for example. I know, of course, for the Batman role as well.
Yeah, you see him lose so much weight, and you see him just get so into the role. So that will be really exciting to view.
Christian Bale did get the nod for Best Actor in a Motion Picture for the Golden Globes, as well as Amy Adams, Best Actress in a Supporting Role for Vice. Vice, again, listed as one of the best motion picture musical or comedy, along with Crazy Rich Asians, The Favorite, Green Book, and Mary Poppins Returns. And then for Best Motion Picture Drama, Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, If Beale Street Could Talk, and A Star Is Born. Have either of you seen A Star Is Born? Because that's one of the biggest buzz movies of the year.
I haven't. I
actually haven't
so
either.
See it though?
Yeah, that was, you know, what happened is, you know, I was seeing so many movies, and then I canceled my movie pass that we talked about.
Right.
When movie pass started to go haywire. And then I just I've seen so few films since then. And of course, you know, all the award season films really come out in the fall for the most part. Although, you know, again, a few of those are ones that were much earlier, like Black Panther was it's a really early film to be among that list. And also unusual because, of course, you know, it being a superhero film, it's kind of interesting to see that they put that in there. And on that drama list also, I think is notable is that of the five films, three of them are films with black directors and, primarily sort of black stories.
That is impressive. Let's talk about another motion picture, and this is a documentary about R. Kelly, and it's not meant to be fun to watch. Surviving R. Kelly, and there was an incident at a planned screening of it the other night.
Yeah. So if you had seen on Twitter or Instagram, there was a bomb threat that was that occurred during this documentary that had come out. Throughout the past 3 years, I've been following the story of R. Kelly and just the abuse that has come out. It's a bit similar to Harvey Weinstein, where there's just consistent women coming out talking about how they've been abused by him, sexually abused by him. But also there's this these stories coming out based upon a young woman, Joycelyn Savage, and her family, who is trying to connect with her because they believe that R. Kelly has her almost like imprisoned in his house, a type of sex cult type of thing going on. But I think that what is really interesting is his ex-wife, Drea Kelly, who has come out on so many different talk shows and talked about how she experienced so much abuse as R. Kelly's wife. And a lot of this hasn't received a lot of media attention as it should have in terms of like the equivalent of the Me Too movement and Harvey Weinstein. But there's been so many stories about physical abuse, sexual abuse, and then also statutory rape and underage women who have had all these different type of encounters. And I do feel that race and gender, they go into the type of media attention that it has and has not received.
And I think, you know, we've been talking about R. Kelly about some, you know, strange behavior and inappropriate behavior for a long time now, really. I mean, this is not necessarily surprising. You know, it's really come out in more detail in the last 3 years, like Precious is talking about. But I feel like it's been a decade since
it's first... a long trail for, R&B singer, you know, because people come and go from the music stage, but it seems like his fame outside of music is lasting longer than.
But, you know, I think it goes to a trend that I've kind of noticed, which is that the Me Too has had a tremendous impact in all kinds of fields, especially entertainment fields, but not so much in the music world. And, you know, we've seen a relatively few stories, or we haven't really seen many major musicians be taken down by Me Too. And I wonder if part of that is if there's sort of this inherent leeway that society has given, you know, rock stars and R&B singers and things like that, that, oh, well, of course they're bad. They're bad boys. You know, they're, you know, if it's just accepted that this kind of behavior happens, because, you know, there's for probably a lot of pretty famous rock stars, I'm sure there is more behavior that's inappropriate than what is being discussed right now.
Yeah. 2 years ago, Andrew and Gay and I, we went to go see that documentary
about the Rolling Stones.
I can't remember what it's called right now, but for Ashland Film Festival. And you can see different types of sexual assault that's happening.
Yeah, there are definitely some Me Too moments in that documentary. I'm trying to remember the name of it, too.
But it's interesting to have some of the same conversations generation by generation. As we head to a break about a minute away, I want to get into a couple of tweets here. An interim head coach for the Green Bay Packers fired the linebackers coach after a tweet, which apparently was critical of the team's quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, which I guess you don't get away with on the Green Bay Packers.
Not something like that they like.
Yeah, I think that there's so much happening in sports media and sports communication. I feel like maybe in where we are, we might not see it as much as some areas in the Midwest, where people are really, really protective of their teams, mm-hmm. their favorite players, what's being said. So even tweets that might not be really seem harsh can have a big impact.
All right, so that really blew up in the face of Winston Moss, the linebackers coach for the Packers. We'll come back and talk more. This is an extended version of Signals and Noise with Andrew and Precious. We'll come back to the Jefferson Exchange and talk about the rest of the year in media when we return. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. This is an extended version of our Signals and Noise segment, our monthly perusal of the media. And we're going to go from where we are now all the way back through a year, just chock full of media stuff. And this is like a five incident a day kind of landscape. And it's a broad landscape. Andrew Gay and Precious Yamaguchi from the Communications Faculty at Southern Oregon University with us once again. You can join in at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. I don't want to start going backwards to the year yet until we talk about a topic that we should talk about, which is how the media cover the death of a former president, mm-hmm. which we've experienced with the funeral in Washington yesterday of George H.W. Bush and his burial in Texas today. So interesting mix of a lot of talk shows. We're going to have this hour tomorrow devoted to our interview with John Meacham a couple of years ago about his biography of George H.W. Bush. So it's respectful by and large, but it's interesting to see that in this day and age, people also are willing to pull up the carpet and look at some of the dust underneath too.
Yeah, it's always fascinating to me to see, just how deferential this for mainstream media becomes to a president after they pass. And, so much of the coverage is sort of through the lens of the historic impact, you know, how this, you know, historic figure and what they contributed. And of course, you know, in the middle of that is Twitter and you see things get popped up. And for instance, I never knew, but Twitter popped up with someone saying, oh, why are we saying this? He voted against the Civil Rights Act, you know, things like that. That's interesting. You know, we don't always look at all the warts and all when a president dies. There's sort of this atmosphere of, well, let's, you know, be deferential. It'll be interesting how much that changes by the time the sort of the next round of our presidents are passing.
I was surprised to see how ubiquitous the service dog Sully's photo was all over social media.
It's a very compelling picture of the service, the comfort dog, really.
And I felt that it's always sad when someone passes away, but people were able to embodiment their grief and mourn through the the depiction of this dog and his stance and face and everything. So I thought that was really interesting how famous this dog and how this became almost an image of our mourning or grief.
Right. I think there's it was also interesting to see on social media the sort of, I think there's also a sense of everyone feeling, and I saw this across the political spectrum of like, oh, that was when presidents were presidents, you know, the sort of like, oh, back when we had a decent man in office. And so there's a lot of this sort of, I think a viewing everything just through the contrast of the current administration and what the presidential norms should be, thinking that, oh, well, you know, we should honor this person because, you know, he didn't. Of course, Twitter didn't exist then, but right. He wasn't constantly calling the media the enemy of the people or what have you.
Right, yeah. So there's a lot of nostalgia wrapped up in that too. So speaking of nostalgia, let us go back and take some key items of the year that we are coming to the end of. And when we went back and looked at the list, I'm sure you felt the same way I did. It was like, wow, that happened this year. Yeah. It feels like a million years ago. But it starts off with Michael Wolff in January with with his book Fire and Fury, the first of the tell-all books about the inside of the White House.
Right. Yeah, I think it was my idea to say let's do a year in review, and I immediately regretted it once I looked at the full list because I was like, oh, I can't even, you know, some of this I can't even remember. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Michael Wolff book was a really big story, and then you know the pieces started, some of the threads began to fall apart, and seemed to be sort of somewhat of a less reliable narrator there, a little self-serving in a lot of ways. So I think you know that the impact, the long-term impact of that book, I think is a less consequential than maybe we immediately assumed.
But let's tie that together with the latest book too, because there were two big ones.
Woodward, right?
Woodward's book. Yeah.
Yeah, that one I think had the more lasting impact and sort of you know had a little more gravitas behind it. And I think you know Woodward also just I think had a legitimacy. You know, there are multiple figures who came out saying, like, you know, Woodward said a lot of bad things about me over the years, and I disagreed with a lot of them, but I never thought he made them up. You know, they always came. If an anonymous source said something, I believe that Woodward had that source. You know?
And I think it's interesting how people have used the media of writing a book still is something that they feel is very powerful, and hoping that everyone will read to get all of their. Not necessarily secrets, but all of their knowledge out there. When there's so many different ways of doing it now through social media, radio, television, but it's very interesting, I think, that people compile this all into this type of book that they hope everyone's going to read, and it's going to change the way
that we think. It's fascinating to watch the feeding process, right? Because, you know, you have a book, and the book drives the newspapers for a little while, and the newspapers drive the cable TV, and the cable TV drives the Twitter. And so it's, you know, we were just talking about, on our faculty, had a meeting with a couple colleagues from our social media and public engagement concentration, and really talking about how important it is to teach our future communicators, right? That you can't just have one channel of communication. You have to have a whole strategy. And even when you're writing a book these days, I think people who write a book already have to be thinking about, all right, so what's the social media strategy? What's the cable TV strategy? What's the late night strategy? Like, you know, Michelle Obama just came out with her new book, Becoming, and, you know, she's all over the late night shows. And,
she is.
You know, so I think it's that, you know, books are still really important, but there is this sort of multimedia aspect of releasing the book that's really interesting.
Andrew and Precious, our guests once again for Signals and Noise, and it's an extended version to talk about this whole year in media, which obviously isn't entirely possible in the time we have. But feel free to join the conversation and nominate a big media event for this year, whether it was a book you loved or a movie you loved or something that you saw happening in the news media. Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I only state this as an example, not a discussion topic of how fast things move. It was just after the January Signals and Noise, like hours after the January Signals and Noise, that we got the whole revelation of President Trump referring to countries in Africa as S-hole countries. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then the whole dust-up of having NPR newscasters say the full word, not cleaning it up like I just did. So that was just one example of how fast things move in the media. Let me move on to some other events, though, because in March we had the shooting in Florida at the high school in Parkland. And an essence of mastery of the media by young people.
Although, you know, I'm from Florida, So I was watching the elections in Florida pretty closely. And of course, interestingly, you know, the impact in Florida wasn't enough.
Not enough to put Democrats in the two major offices up for votes.
You know, the NRA endorsed senator and candidate, and the NRA endorsed governor candidate, both won in Florida. And, you know, they were close elections. But yeah, so it was interesting to see that even though they really did have a huge impact on a national conversation in a lot of ways, apparently it wasn't enough to persuade their home state voters.
And I think it's sad that that was not the only shooting of the year, that we've moved through the year and we saw so many different types of shootings in schools and churches. One of the last ones being the one California, Southern California, in the Malibu area. That area.
Well, just a couple months ago, it was the anniversary of the Las Vegas shooting, right? You know, it was just kind of astonishing when I saw it that it had only been a year, and thinking, wow, that story just really disappeared, and it was just an enormous toll. How quickly we just were
people,
you know, as a collective society, we sort of shrugged and like, all right, well. What's next?
Yeah, it's a real societal moment beyond just the media moment. Let's want to cover the fact that this has been a year when net neutrality got talked about a lot, and ultimately the decision was that net neutrality can be dispensed with, is the FCC's ruling, yes, meaning that you can pay for higher speeds on the internet. Is any evidence of this happening yet from your perspective?
Well, there's this fire story, right? There were stories about during the firefights that the firefighters were not able to get the communication speeds they needed because of net neutrality. That was an issue. I think that was one story I've heard. But other than that, I don't know. Precious, have you?
And following different stocks. I feel that AT&T is taken such a huge plunge in terms of its value, but also the way that cable companies work, I think that it just has to have more dialogue of people understanding what kind of access and packages they're getting to. I think it's always, I almost feel that people need sometimes like a representative for them to talk to these cable companies to make sure they're getting the best
the
value.
Public advocate for broadband or
and
something.
And I know a lot of times when we're on the phone with our cable company, you just kind of want to get it done and get off. But we also need to be patient to make sure we ask the right questions and really understand what we are subscribing to and how it changes throughout the following years. Those are really important questions. But I can totally relate to so many people where you just want to get your cable, get off the phone, get it ordered.
Well, I fully admit I thought that I was suffering from some throttling for a while. I thought, am I having a net neutrality issue? But it turned out I bought a new modem and a new Wi-Fi router, and my speeds doubled. It was amazing.
Oh, okay. So while we're on the subject of getting online, we need to talk about it's not just Facebook and Cambridge Analytica, which was a big story in April, but Facebook and a number of things over the course of the year. And I can remember a couple of times when I was telling people, hey, you can also find us on Facebook. I was cringing a bit, anticipating people thinking, you know, I'm not dealing with Facebook anymore, those jerks. So it's been an interesting love-hate relationship where people can see the things they really dislike about Facebook and yet stick with it.
Yeah, I think on Facebook, a lot of people want to step away, but somehow they get they sink back into Facebook because they want to connect or they want to see photos or someone has a child and they want to keep up with that. And then it is almost like a guilty pleasure, but also knowing that so much of your information is out there, not so much just what you are writing or posting, but all different types of pieces of yourself, even like connection to your email, your cell phone, how often you use Facebook, how often you use different type of mobile devices. Mm-hmm. This all goes into that.
Yeah, I mean, I personally feel Facebook is evil, but I I'm deeply ingrained in it because it's, you know, it has an archive of my life for the past 10 years. It has multiple organizations I'm involved in have their Facebook presence that are important.
Do you guys keep photo albums anymore?
Not so much photo albums. It's all Instagram, but Instagram is also
all right. It's also
connected.
Owned by Facebook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So all your stuff's there.
Yeah. They own it anyway.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to Instagram. Well, you
yeah,
just
it's
still giving the money.
Same thing.
You
know, yeah.
Giving your information to Facebook, right? I'm going to skip ahead through a couple things this year, but one of the major events, obviously involving online communication, is Roseanne, who fired a horrible thing about a former White House advisor and got fired from the ABC network from her show, which is called Roseanne, and it came back in the fall as The Conners, but. You know, here again, behavior where people say things on Twitter that seem to come directly from their id.
Yeah. It not every person that says something bad is
held to account, perhaps?
Accountable. It's kind of, there's different areas and different people where something might be highlighted and just catch fire. And this was one of those cases.
Right. Yeah, there continues to be a problem on Twitter with real abuse. I mean, it's interesting the things that get flagged. You know, obviously this wasn't a case where Twitter censored anything or took it down. It was kind of public backlash and corporate backlash. But, you know, meanwhile, there's still people writing some just horrendous things about other people on Twitter and not being able to, you know, get any response from Twitter when it's reported. Recently saw someone I follow, their entire Twitter account was hacked, stolen, and they reported it, and Twitter said, this does not violate our
terms of use.
Twitter's kind of hopeless in that area. And kind of an interesting story, actually, kind of one we could have talked about recent. Tumblr just passed a new rule about
the no pornography
rule. But it's hilarious, some of the stuff that's getting flagged because of that. There's a picture of Mr. Rogers with his feet in a little baby pool with another man with his feet in a baby pool, and that got flagged by.
Oh, no.
So again, there's these, you know, every time social media tries to be like, oh yes, we're going to make this more appropriate somehow, it's you know, kind of a difficult, complex process, and kind of a lot of things that aren't bad get caught up in it, and a lot of things that are bad still get through.
Let me bring up another hashtag to round out the discussion for the year, because it came up again and again. Me Too, particularly in the context of Les Moonves, probably the most recent major media figure to be undone over at CBS Network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although you know, reports are coming out now that Moonves had kind of really did not cooperate with the investigation and seemed to make it difficult for them to get to the bottom of all of it. And it's a pretty kind of horrendous stories about you know, employees who were sort of designated to give him favors in some way, and but yeah, I think the Me Too story movement, I guess it was Time's Person of the Year last year, right? It was the Me Too movement, and it's continued to be a really powerful, dominant voice in a lot of ways, but we've also seen sort of the limits. You know, at some point already, we're starting to see the rehabilitation stories coming out of like, oh, you know, this person paid their price and now can they come back? You know, things like the Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. made another appearance.
Right. So, yeah. You know, there was recently a story about, oh my gosh, my brain just went, Paul Schrader. Paul Schrader, the screenwriter of Taxi Driver, also a film director, posts on Facebook about how he wanted to make a movie with Kevin Spacey, and he was told that he couldn't. And he said that we're all outlaws in art. Everything should be allowed in art. And you know, got a lot of blowback from that.
Oh,
but
no.
Here's Paul Schrader out there trying to rehabilitate Kevin Spacey. And so I think it's an interesting time now that we're kind of a year out from Me Too to already see how much leeway a lot of people are being given to kind of try to, oh, here, come try to slip through again. Mm-hmm. Let's welcome you back. You paid your price.
Yeah, and I think Les Moonves making it difficult becomes its media story in itself. You wish that he would just be cooperative, because either way, it's still very negative. But hearing that he used, I think, gave his son's iPad instead of turning over his own.
Oh, really? For investigation.
Just those things,
yeah.
I think people are going to find out. So you might as well just be cooperative a bit.
I can give you a minute each as we head to a break to finish the segment with a pick three, and you can make it for this month or this year.
I told Precious I couldn't come up with anything for my pick three because I've been so busy. But so I said, I'll just do my favorite holiday films. So in our house, we do what we call Alan Rickmas every year. So We watch Love Actually, Die Hard, which is a Christmas movie. I don't care what you say.
Because it takes place
And then we actually watch, usually watch all of the Harry Potter films, which aren't technically Christmas, but they feel magical, and there's usually a winter scene somewhere. So, okay. And it has Alan Rickman, so it qualifies.
Mine feels so opposite now because I don't have any holiday ones. And my first one is Plastic China, which is a documentary about a plastic factory in China, and it just makes you not want to use plastic because you see these people that are living in conditions at this factory. So, but it's a great documentary. I love watching Priyanka Chopra's wedding that happened recently. I love a multicultural, beautiful wedding, and hers looked amazing. And then I love the book The Finnish Way by Katja Pansar, who talks about Finnish culture. And it reminds me so much of kind of how we live in Ashland, or I live in Ashland with my family. So that's a great book.
Your pick threes are always so much more interesting than mine. I'm Die Hard. She's like, Finnish.
Yeah, you really covered the corners of the world there, Precious. Kudos to you for that. And if you get a chance, check out some of it. How many different Instagram accounts do you have?
Mine is Precious PhD, but I also on Twitter have Ashland Animals. So if you have any awesome photos of animals in Oregon, tweet them to me at Ashland Animals, and I will retweet them to you. But other Oregon photos are you can find on Instagram at Precious PhD.
Okay, all kinds of great stuff going on in the world of media. Some kind of horrible things going on in the world of media too, but it's all up for discussion here in our Signals and Noise segment. Thanks to Precious and Andrew for an extended look back at the year 2018, and goodness knows what we'll be talking about in January when you guys come back.